May it please the court, Detective Brickley is entitled to qualified immunity because he did not violate a clearly established constitutional right when he arrested the plaintiff, Shannon McComas. There has been no clearly analogous or closely analogous case presented, and Detective Brickley's conduct was not so egregious that it would put a reasonable officer on notice that he violated the Constitution. Nevertheless, the district court determined that the precise identity of the object...
I don't understand. Maybe this doesn't really involve Brickley. I don't understand how McComas could have been charged with murder. I don't get that.
It would be through the theory of a...
Nothing like that. So the security officer, Gogo, asks him for a weapon. He gives him a weapon. There's, you know, rioting, commotion, so on. What does it have to do with murder?
Well, the theory was that he provided him the handgun moments before the shooting occurred. I think less than 2 minutes before the shooting occurred.
Nothing to do with murder?
But given the proximity of time...
I understand that. I mean, suppose you have a security officer. His gun isn't working. He's concerned. And he asks you for his weapon. He's entitled to carry a weapon. So you give him, you happen to have one, you're a cop, so you have one, you give it to him. How could that possibly escalate into a murder charge?
Well, I think it also...
Motive, he didn't want to kill anybody.
Well, motive isn't a necessary element to murder.
No motive for murder? No intent?
It's not a necessary element for proving murder in the state of Indiana.
State of Indiana, you don't have to prove intent?
You have to prove intent, not motive.
Well, who... Honestly.
The intent is simply the...
What's the intent? Intent to kill someone? If you hand a weapon to someone to defend himself or to defend property or defend the customers,
well,
that's murder?
The intent to fire the handgun into
a handgun. He's just intending to give it to the security officer who doesn't have his gun and needs it because there's, you know, the threats, dangers. How could that possibly be murder?
Well, there was certainly no evidence that there were other firearms on the property at the time, and given the relevant proximity of time...
This is a ridiculous argument. No evidence. What? You have to... The burden of proof is not on the defendant in a murder case.
But it wasn't the burden of proof that's at issue. It's the probable cause.
I would think you might suggest that the officer had maybe several reasons to arrest Mr. McComas. You developed that in your brief.
There was
probable cause to think that McComas did something, but does it have to be murder?
It doesn't have to be murder at all. In fact, the false informing is the one that's, I think, most troubling and most clear in these circumstances. Detective Brickley certainly had conducted a tape statement with Shannon McComas, and during the course of that tape statement, McComas made several statements while Detective Brickley was trying to determine what was the object in the video. And if the plaintiff is to be believed, and the belief being that the object was in fact a taser, the plaintiff flatly denied that while the detective's trying to conduct a relevant homicide investigation and determine what weapons were in play. And if that's the case, and certainly that's what the plaintiff has argued, Detective Brickley should be entitled to arrest someone for providing false information. I think the issue here is Shannon McComas had a department IMPD-issued taser that he provided to a bar security guard as a manner of discharging a crowd, and he didn't want someone to find out. Well, that led him to provide false information to the detective who was investigating something far more serious. As a result, Detective Brickley could arrest him for providing false informing or false information. And certainly, the assisting a criminal charge that was actually charged by the prosecutor included providing false information during the course of the investigation.
Did the prosecutor ever charge him with murder?
No. The prosecutor only charged him with assisting a criminal. However, Detective Brickley did consult with the prosecutor prior to arresting McComas. The evidence is very clear that he conducted the tape statement, concluded about, I believe, 6:20, 6:30 on January 6th, consulted with the prosecutor, watched the video with the prosecutor, and then around 8 o'clock arrested Shannon McComas while he was still at the station.
And he winds up spending a few days in jail, but then he's out on bond, is that correct?
14 days in jail, and then he was released on bond after that. And the case was dismissed. The arrest was January 6th. The case was dismissed, I believe, March 17th or around there.
Okay.
So he's on bond for about a month and a half.
All right.
The district court found that the precise identity of the object remains unidentified, and that was a necessary determination. We put to the court that that's not necessarily so. As we've said, even if the plaintiff is right and the object is determined to in fact be a taser, and the plaintiff's arguments are accepted and the plaintiff's facts are accepted, Detective Brickley was right to arrest and had the probable cause to arrest Shannon McComas. Certainly,
Are you arguing probable cause, or are you arguing arguable probable cause?
Arguable probable cause. I apologize. Okay. In this circumstance, an officer could reasonably conclude that that when someone says, "I never got my taser out that night, and I never provide it to anyone else," and he in fact does provide it to someone else, and it's on the video. Again, even if the plaintiff's facts are proven as true, there was arguable probable cause to arrest, and certainly it wasn't clearly established in light of existing case law that that's not so. Certainly, if an individual is given two contradictory statements and a video that contradicts the initial statements, an officer or detective should be able to reasonably conclude that probable cause exists for an arrest. With regard to the other facts, we don't think they're material at this issue, and as a result, Detective Brickley, whether he concluded it was a gun or a taser, he should still be entitled to qualified immunity.
You're in your rebuttal.
Thank you. I'll reserve the rest of that time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Will. Mr. McGarry?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor is... Mr. Will, if it please this court, my name is Jeff McQuarrie, and I represent appellee Shannon McComas. There is no evidence in the record that would give a reasonable police officer probable cause to arrest Shannon McComas, either for the charges for which he actually was arrested, or any of the charges which...
Why not for false informing?
Because, Judge, Shannon McComas made clear by the end of that interrogation that what he had in his hand was a taser, and that he did, in fact, use GoGo's taser to keep people in that crowded bar away from the victim. He may
but
initially...
I thought that, I mean, like, looking at the tape, it's not 100% clear whether he's carrying a gun or a taser. And I thought it was only when Officer Brickley essentially called his shot, you know, said, "I have a video," that Mr. McComas kind of backed up and admitted that he was carrying something, and then he says it's a taser, and then let's all assume it winds up being a taser. But the video isn't really that clear.
It's very difficult to determine what's on the video, Judge. You can only tell that the object is a taser, and I assume you're talking about the object not in the kitchen area that Detective Brickley initially thought was the murder weapon, but later on in the bar area. You can tell that that's a taser because it's emitting sparks. You can also tell that the object...
Yes, but handguns have laser sights, too. Oh, you mean the sparks.
The actual sparks, but the laser sight. But I guess here's where I want to think about how much knowledge we impose on the police officers. Here is this rather chaotic, in fact, shockingly chaotic scene, police officers hanging out and so on. And there's this thing that could be a weapon, and Officer Brickley knows that somebody's been hurt and, you know, something's gone on. He sees this evasive person talking to him. Why isn't that enough to give him at least arguable probable cause to go forward with an arrest? Obviously, the system sort of works the way it's supposed to. Mr. McComas is released after a while. Nobody wants to spend 2 weeks in jail. Believe me, I understand that. But he is vindicated.
Because, Judge, in the interrogation, Shannon McComas told Detective Brickley exactly what the object
was. But
why was
Detective Brickley supposed to believe him when the video was not so clear?
Judge, because there is absolutely nothing in the video that would suggest it was a gun.
Why did you dismiss the kitchen? I don't know. The kitchen is where he's holding something that, well, the taser unfortunately looks like a gun, so he's holding something that could be either a gun or a taser.
Judge, it's a little gray dot. You can't tell what it is. It's a little gray dot. You can't tell what it is. It could
I
just
understand you. No, no. In the kitchen, I think it's in the kitchen. What I looked at, he's holding something that looks very much like a gun. And you'd think it was a gun, except you know the taser looks, or this particular, or in particular, some tasers look exactly like that.
Well,
not exactly, but look enough like it so that a surveillance video makes it impossible to distinguish.
Judge, I disagree that it looks like...
Isn't that the part of the video that Brickley kept looking at, you know, hour after hour, trying to puzzle out what it was? And first he thought it was a gun, and later he thought, well, it could be a taser.
Well, Judge,
a very important part of the basis for the arrest?
It is important, and as the district judge found, that object is unidentifiable.
Well, no, it's either a gun or a taser. It doesn't look like a screwdriver or
the point is, the mere fact that it's unidentifiable and it could be a gun would give the police officer a rational basis for thinking, you know, this man's not being square with me, he's falsely accounting for what he did, I have probable cause to arrest him. The police don't need to dig down and resolve every last uncertainty before they can arrest someone.
They don't, Your Honor, but there was already a perfectly rational explanation of where the murderer got the gun. That is to say that Norm Broden told Detective Brickley that the person actually accused of the murder, Gogo, had a gun with him, brought the gun that night.
That was a gun in his car, Rusin and Gucco's gun, right?
Well, if you look on page 8 of Norm Broden's first statement, at the bottom of the page, Norm Broden clearly says, well, yes, I told Gogo to put the gun back in the car, but I don't believe that he did. So best evidence is that Gogo had the gun on him all night. Shannon McComas was a policeman. He had the right to carry a gun. Now, he was not. He never brought a gun into that bar. But a gun was something he was perfectly entitled to have. There is simply no connection between whatever object, which we now know to be a taser, but whatever Shannon McComas might have had in his hand back in the kitchen minutes before the shooting, and the shooting, which occurred outside the bar. By the time Shannon got out there, the shooting was over. By the time Gogo got back to where Shannon was, the shooting was over. There is simply nothing to connect Shannon and the object that he was entitled to have and the killing, and there is someone who confessed to doing...
The impression that he had something to hide, right? That was the initial interrogation. That was a mistake.
Detective Brickley may have believed that he had something to hide, but the fact of the matter is...
He may have believed. Someone is lying. You know he's lying because you have the tape. It's not a question of you may have something to hide. Why is this person lying, right?
Judge, he didn't lie. In the course of that interrogation, he said, the object that you think was in my hand was a taser. He repeatedly says that it's a taser. And he also...
After he's been told... Wasn't that after he'd been told he had been taped?
Detective Brickley...
Was it after he'd been told he'd been taped?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, of course. Then he can't... Then his lies have been exposed. So then he becomes truthful. Maybe. Or he tells a new lie, that it was a taser, not a gun.
Judge, in the course of...
It's just a regular Saturday night in Indianapolis. I mean,
actually, what he should have said is it was New Year's Eve and I was so blasted I really have no idea, you know, what I was carrying.
He did say that, Judge. So. He did say that he had been drinking. He did say that he had trouble remembering. And he repeatedly asked to see the tape. Instead of showing them the tape, Detective Brickley repeatedly...
Why did he have to see the tape?
Because he couldn't remember, Your Honor.
What was the time distance between these?
The interrogation occurred about a week later.
Remember, because he said it was a taser, so he remembered that.
After the detective,
having looked at the tape, by gollies, yes.
Judge,
I have to revise my position.
He never saw the tape.
You have to see the tape. If he didn't have a gun, he didn't have a taser, he should have just said that.
Judge Bauer, throughout the interrogation, he maintains that he did not have a gun in the bar that night or ever. And something I think needs to be brought out is look how different the current theory of false informing is from the operative set of facts.
Well, let me back up and say, let's go back and think of the police officer's position at that time. Somebody's been killed, right?
Yes, sir.
We're in the process of investigating murder. Some other guy lies to you about what he's got, which looks like a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that give him some kind of reason to think that there's something afoot that he should investigate and bring him and say, why did he lie? That's probable cause.
No, Your Honor. It's not. Because Detective Brickley was entitled to ask those questions, and he did, and Shannon McComas answered them,
and
he told the truth.
And he has to accept the answer cold, even though he knows the guy talking to him lied.
He doesn't know that he lied, sir. What he knows is that Shannon changed his explanation in the course of the interrogation so that his final statement about what happened is the truth.
He was caught face-to-face with the fact that he had told a lie and got caught.
He was not shown the video, Your Honor, despite repeated requests. Most of those statements, sir, were either exaggerations or lies.
Mr. McCoy, your time has expired. Do you have anything further, Mr. Will?
We would like to point out that as a factual issue, page 8 of Norman Broden's first statement says, so I thought he put the gun back in the car. So Detective Brickley did believe that. Or at least that certainly there was evidence from which an officer conclude that. The plaintiff made much of that the taser or the object in the hallway, whatever it was, wasn't connected to the shooting. And I guess we want to make sure it's clear that it doesn't have to be connected to the shooting. If it was a taser and he lied to the detective about it while he was trying to determine what the object was, it was a taser. And he did have a reason to arrest at that point, at least arguable probable cause. As a result, based on the foregoing, we respectfully request this court reverse the district's court order and grant summary judgment on qualified immunity. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel.